much as that she
Blog Talk Radio.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the FDH Lounge. This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris. We have a very special mini-episode coming your way today, previewing Super Bowl 50 through a very unique set of eyes, the first female assistant coach in the history of the National Football League, Ms. Jennifer Welter. Dr. Jennifer Welter will be joining us shortly. Get into a little bit about her experience with one of the teams that made it to the Final Four this season, the Arizona Cardinals, who, again, she knows a lot about from working with them, and get her thoughts on the two teams that will be competing for the 50th Super Bowl championship, the Carolina Panthers and the Denver Broncos. Should be a very interesting game. Of course, this week, Kyle Ross and myself also breaking it down on the show in our usual fashion, so getting into that as well. But always interesting to talk about this through the eyes of somebody outside the show and through the eyes of somebody directly dealing with the NFL. And again, very, very interesting experiences that she has had with covering the NFL, with being a part of it, I should say, from the inside, and working with the likes of the Honey Badger out there in Arizona and some of the different players on that defense. And again, a defensive unit that she was working with that turned out to be a lot better than a lot of people thought they were going to be this year, especially with losing Todd Bowles. There was something of a suspicion that they might take a little bit of a step backwards this year, but it was a very, very strong unit, and among other things, I'll be very interested to see how much of that she saw at the time when she was working with them back through August, because they were certainly looking like a very strong unit from that point on. But moving forward into the season here, they were very, very dominant, but of course, again, got completely eaten up last week by the Carolina Panthers, who did what they did the previous week with the Seattle Seahawks and went on to really dominate in strong fashion against them. So, and there's no question that Dr. Welter certainly would have been watching that game with a lot of interest, and I'm sure much like everybody who loves football, was watching the AFC Championship game with a lot of interest as well. And given her background in sports psychology, we're certainly going to want to get into the issue of Peyton Manning and what he has. Of course, he has everything left in the tank mentally, but how can that help him at this point? For somebody who looks as broken down as he does, quite frankly, how can that help him at all physically? What is he going to have left in the tank on Sunday, even if he's able to max out everything from a psychology perspective, to be able to get through the game? But again, everything with Super Bowl 50 this week starting to get fired up with the two teams arriving out in the Bay Area. Only the second time that the Super Bowl has been contested out there in the Bay Area. And the NFL making a lot of headlines, of course, in the state of California this month alone with the ongoing shenanigans about the return of football to the Los Angeles area. Only going to be one team playing there apparently next year. But there will be a lot of Super Bowl off-field storylines here media week, and I understand that Jen, I think, is going to be out there for Super Bowl 50. We'll be talking to her about that and much, much more. We should be getting her here on the phone lines momentarily, but again, Super Bowl 50, it is the culmination of an entire season of coverage here on the show, the fourth season that we have gone through week by week. From a fantasy perspective, we've been doing it longer than that. You go back to 2004, and we've been breaking it down every week from a fantasy perspective. But on the week-by-week coverage, myself and esteemed Vegas handicapper Kyle Ross, this is the fourth year of doing this week-by-week going through. And again, my record in these playoffs has been pretty spotty. Has been I started off very good at 0-1, or I'm sorry, 3-1, and I have been, I believe, 0-5-1 over the course of the last 2 weeks. So a big and a very uncharacteristic downfall for me in trying to forecast what was going to happen. I have found myself flat-footed as far as the events of the last 2 weeks here. So I will be interested to see also with Jen, if she has kind of anticipated this. And I have to believe that whatever she thought was going to happen in terms of an outcome last week, that she expected to see more and to see better from the Arizona Cardinals last week. I'm just guessing on that. But there's the possibility, of course, maybe she saw Carolina winning that game. But it's something that we turned up in our FDH Lounge notes and oddities this week was that teams going 15-1 haven't traditionally done as well as you would think going into the Super Bowl. And indeed, the last couple of teams to go 15-1 haven't even made it that far. We tend to think back on the San Francisco 49ers, who were the first team to do it back in the 89 season. We tend to think of some of the teams that have been successful in that regard, but then there have been other teams like the Pittsburgh Steelers of 2004 that didn't even make it that far. The 1998 Minnesota Vikings, who were, of course, infamously jinxed by Fox when they threw up the graphic on the screen that Anderson had not missed a field goal for the entire season, whereupon he missed the one that would have kept them in the game and instead took them out of the 1998 NFC Championship. A good friend of mine, Bob Benek, is very, very pissed about that because he feels like we missed the chance to see an all-time great Super Bowl that year with Denver and Minnesota. And I think it would have been a lot more epic than the Denver and Atlanta game that we got. That Denver Super Bowl, of course, being one of eight that we have seen through the course of time with the Denver Broncos, and again, making it back for the second time in 3 years to this Super Bowl, the third consecutive old-school, new-school battle at quarterback. We go from Russell Wilson, Peyton Manning 2 years ago to Russell Wilson, Tom Brady last year, now to Cam Newton, Peyton Manning this year. But, of course, it's this year out of the three where there's perceived to be a very, very great imbalance. Because, and indeed, if anybody thought there was an imbalance 2 years ago, it would have been in favor of Peyton Manning vis-a-vis the unproven at that time and relatively untested Russell Wilson. So a lot has changed physically. And certainly I would be very interested to see if Jen has any kind of ideas on what might be causing this breakdown that we've seen from Peyton Manning, which has been very rapid over the course of the last season and a half or so. Haven't really gotten into any kind of detail as to what might have caused that. He's had a variety of lower body injuries, and you're left to wonder how much of that might be responsible versus whatever was done with the neck. Maybe there was only a limited lifespan on that, and even that's been kind of controversial in recent weeks here with the accusations from Al Jazeera America about use of HGH by Peyton Manning. It was pretty well established in some quarters that the surgery that had been done on his neck was of an experimental nature, so that perhaps it was stem cells or something like that being used in the course of that. So in terms of what ultimately caused and led to the breakdown that we've seen in the course of the last season and a half, that's something that, again, it's harder to tell from the outside looking in than it is in terms of talking to somebody like Jen, who has played the game and who has now coached at the highest level as well, albeit on that internship for a brief period of time where, again, to my understanding, did an excellent job of proving her stripes and getting the buy-in from the players necessary, I think, to come back and hopefully do this from her perspective on a much more permanent basis. But starting to turn and look at the Super Bowl and in terms of how the matchup is going, ultimately it does seem to be a battle of which of the two teams is going to be able to establish their passing game a little bit better. So whether it be Peyton Manning dealing with against a very good Carolina secondary, but one outside of Norman that doesn't really have too many supersonic guys in there after some of the injury situation happenings that have been going on there versus Cam Newton, who is going to be dealing with arguably the best secondary in the game in the Denver Broncos. So different challenges for each quarterback, but an equivalent kind of a formula nonetheless of where it does seem like which either of the two teams establishes their passing game a little bit more is going to do better. We at this point, we are not going to be having Dr. Welter on the show today, so we apologize for anybody who has tuned in, and we look forward to hopefully rescheduling that in the near future. Thank you for checking out this mini episode of the FDH Lounge. which will be erased from history.
What the hell happened?
In 3, I don't know.